You go to Mark 5:25. I told you I was going to do this, so I'm going to do it. But you'll understand that the Holy Spirit interrupts us. There's just a strong pull on the prophetic. And so I'll say the things. Church, it's almost like I'm seeing something new. It's not just what's going to happen, but like we're shooting things out for the moment. Amen. So if you can get that, if you can grab that, think about it, because your words, you're like, well, Pastor, you know, you have that prophetic edge. Well, you're the prophet of your own life. And so you got to speak the right words. You got to do it. It's going to be about what you say. And we're going to find that out in just a moment. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you about how to receive anything from God. You can receive anything from God, what I'm going to tell you. Now, church, just keep in mind that when Jesus was teaching, he was never working on the giving part of God. He's always working on the receiving part of man. He's always trying to get us to receive. That's why he went about preaching and teaching, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to remove burdens and destroy yoke. Peter said that. Peter said, we watched him and we watched what he preached. He preached the anointing. Okay. And other things. He preached the kingdom. He preached other things. But he preached the anointing of God. So he's always working on us being able to receive. So I'm just going to push you over and you're going to be able to receive. That's what we're going to do. Amen. How many of you know who Warren Buffett is? Everybody in here probably. Okay. So he's a multi-billionaire, you know, and he on occasion he gets asked to share his secrets with people. And you know, you would think that he would have this big advice about investment insights and strategies. But it might surprise you to know that he has two keys that he attributes to his success. Just two keys. And the first one is this, and I think this is so mighty, his certainty of the unconditional love of his father. Wow. He said that he knew that his dad loved him so much and had such great confidence in him that he was never afraid to attempt anything. Wow. Come on, church. Did you get that? You got a father that loves you a whole much more than Mr. Buffett Sr. did. He believes in you. He loves you. Amen. He's on your side. You're not alone. God loves you. But that was the number one thing. He just felt like he could do anything. He wasn't afraid of failure. A fear-free life is a failure-free life. You don't have to fail all the time. It's when you get caught up into, you don't want to try anything because you think you'll fail. And then the second key is to his success was the discovery that he didn't follow directions very well. He found out he didn't follow directions very well, and he learned it because he was taking a test at school. And the teacher passed out all the tests and said, now put your name on the top of the page and then follow the instructions. How many of y'all have heard this before? Anybody? Okay. And so he's told to follow the instructions. So, he puts his name on the top of the page and then he starts reading every question there. It said the second instruction is read every question before you take the test. So put your name up there and then read every. And so he wrote his name up there. He's answering the questions. And then, so he sees this young girl and she goes up and turns her paper in. Y'all are laughing because you know the story. And so he was like, well, I'm as smart as she is. Why is it taking me so long to do the test? And he's not. And so he got to the very last question and it instructed him not to answer any of the questions, but just to turn the paper in. So see, he didn't follow the instructions. Right. How many times have we tried to put that Christmas toy together without the instructions? And one piece gets left out, and at the end, you're going, wait a minute, where'd this come from? All right, you're like, nah, it doesn't happen to me. It's happened to us a few times. There's things we put together, and we're like, so John and I, we put a lot, over the years for the church, we put a lot of things together, and we're always laughing because we're like, read the instructions. So one thing that I'm taking away from that is just do what you're instructed to do. just do what you're instructed to do, and it'll be okay. So, you know, we hear a lot of pilot talks in our group, because obviously our Father in the Lord has been a pilot for a long time. And then all of his sons around him are all pilots. So we've heard a lot of pilot stories. But one thing that I picked up from them is there's a checklist. Yep. There's a checklist before you take off and before you land. And they never forget to do that checklist. They always do it. Mm-hmm. And someone asked a pilot, well, you know, you've done it so many times. Don't you remember how to do it? And the pilot said, only a fool trusts his memory when his life is at stake. And so there, stick to your checklist. If you have a checklist, follow it. So I'm about to give you one. Okay? Praise the Lord. We just have to stick to the checklist. So that's why Jesus said it is written all the time. It is written. You have a checklist written right here. So, and the Word of God, it contains the written, unchanging procedures and steps to victory in every area of life. And so if you'll get these steps, there's only four. If you get these steps, you can get anything from God. So I'm going to give you the steps. Now, you recall, you all know Brother Hagin. He's our grandfather, I guess, in the Lord. Very important person. Brother Hagin, I believe, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he had 8 visitations from God. Now, you may say, well, why did he have visitations from the Lord? Why was that important? Because, you know, I haven't had one, or haven't heard very many people have it. Well, Brother Hagin was in the time frame where the church was really off base. They were really far off and didn't believe anything. There was just a bunch of junk going on. So Jesus told him, I'm going to appear to you and tell you some things to help guide the church through a time and help them follow the Word of God rather than just other doctrines and things like that. So Brother Hagin would get all kinds of good stuff from Jesus. And so on one occasion, Brother Hagin, I think this is so cool. I mean, what would you ask Jesus? You know, I mean, if he appears to you tonight when you get home, what are you going to ask him? Well, you can tell who Brother Hagin is, because Brother Hagin asked him about a teaching. And he's asking him about the woman with the issue of blood. And he told Jesus that, he said, you know, Jesus, I feel like there's more to this than I'm preaching. I think that's awesome. Some people would say, Jesus, can you tell me my future? You know, but he was concerned about leading people. What a great man. And so Jesus said, yeah, you're right. He said, get you a pen and a pencil, and I want you to write 1, 2, 3, 4. And then Jesus proceeded to tell Brother Hagin the exact steps of faith that the woman with the issue of blood took to receive her healing. And then he said, this is what Jesus said to Brother Hagin, and I trust Brother Hagin. He's not a liar. He told the truth. This is what he said. If anybody, anywhere, will take these 4 steps or use these 4 principles, they will not only receive their healing, but whatever he wants from me, Jesus, or from the Father. Whatever you want, you can get if you will use these 4 steps. Now, I didn't say that. Brother Hagin didn't say that. Jesus said that.
Amen.
And of course, there's lots of scripture to back that up. So let's read Mark 5, and we'll start with verse 25. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to just remind us of these steps tonight. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many years of many physicians and had spent all that she had was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned in about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, you see how the multitude's throng in you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, glory to God, came and fell down before him. Thank you, Jesus. And told him all the truth. And she said, glory to God. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So remember, follow the instructions, right? Follow the instructions. Can y'all feel what I feel? Okay. Praise the Lord. So number one, two words. She said, she said. Now this woman heard how Jesus healed every sickness and disease. The lame, the blind, raised the dead. And after she heard, she believed. And she heard and she said so. So she had heard something. Now what'd she hear? She heard about him. She heard what was going on. Hey, we believe this is the Messiah. He's healing people. So I heard that he's doing this. Now for me and you, I've heard that he's the healer. I've heard he's the deliverer. I've heard he's the prosperer. I've heard he is the one. I've heard it. Have you heard it? So I've heard it. It's probably why we're all here tonight, because we've heard something. We haven't heard a doctrine. We heard the word, and the word said that Jesus healed everybody that had faith. Right? So we don't have to make up something else that maybe God didn't want to heal. We know that he heals. We know he is the healer. So and there's no question about that. We're not the people that say, well, maybe in my case, he didn't want to do it right now. No, that's not how he is. He is the healer. Yes. So that means it's on my side. It's not on his side. And if you're going to get healed, you're going to have to come to this in your life. You're going to have to quit blaming God for not healing you. But she heard, and so she said. So her confession built the road for healing. She said, I'm going over there. Man, I can't tell you all the stories I heard of people going to see Brother Roberts, and they'd say, when he lays hands on me, I will be healed. Mm-hmm. Remember that little kid? What's that kid? Willie waiting out in the, you know the story about Willie? Everybody knows the story. He's waiting out in the hallway for Brother Roberts. And he says, I'm supposed to be healed. Brother Roberts says, well, Willie, I'm tired. I've just, you know, laid hands on 1,000 people, you know. And he says, well, I don't know about that, but I just know I came here. I'm supposed to be healed. And so Brother Roberts prayed for him, and he was healed. Huh? Today. Yeah, I'm supposed to be healed today. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm supposed to be healed today. Right. It's going to happen today. And he believed that because he had heard what had happened at those meetings. Yeah. Amen. So Willie said, and we're saying, amen. Now, most translations with that, you know, the word says, she kept saying. And the word say there is actually a word that you know very well in the Greek. It's lego. And lego means a systematic set discourse. So when she began to say that, it began to set up something. That's why we word of faith people make confessions. That's why we say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Victory's overtaken. You know, we say those things on purpose. We make those confessions. I am this. I am that. What are we doing? Systematic. We're building Legos. We're building Legos. And I don't know how many times you played with Legos, but I have a lot of history. I'm really good at it. I built many zoos on the floor of my son's house with my grandson. And we always built zoos. He wanted to build a zoo. And so we built all sorts of things. But those Legos stay together really good. So when you start building those things and you start using those words, you start using the right words, and you put any other words in there except what you want. Yeah. She said, and she stuck to it. Nuh-uh. He's way over there, and look at the crowd. But yeah, she said, if I can. And so, you know, she could have said, well, it has been 12 years. I might as well give up. And she could have just laid down and died. But If you had passed by this woman, you would have heard her saying something. She'd have been saying something and over and over. When I touch his clothes, when I touch his clothes, when I touch his clothes, when I touch his clothes. She's making that confession. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. When she touched it, she kept saying it. What you say will determine your victory or your defeat. That's not news to anyone in this house. It is true. But I'm telling you that steady confession will bring to pass what you want. Amen. Amen. Number two, she acted. It said she did. So she acted. Her faith moved her into action. She got up and she started walking. She started pressing through the crowd. Nuh-uh, I'm doing this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and press and do this. Lord, forgive me for every time I laid down when I should have risen up. Yeah. Amen. You know, she could have said, you know, I'm just too weak to leave the house. And the kinfolk said I need to just stay in bed. They're probably right. No. She said, y'all can stay here if you want to, but I heard. And I believe that if I touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. So I'm going. And so she acted. She went toward it. And, you know, she got off her sick bed. She went on the way to her miracle. So just like those people of God who were bitten by the snakes in Numbers 21, you remember that? So they looked at that brazen serpent and they lived, right? That represented Jesus with all sin put on him. So they lived because all sin has been put on Jesus. You're healed because all sin and curse was put on Jesus. You're healed right now. Let us not take that lightly, that Jesus did all this for us and we could just sit back and go, well, you know, I'm just neither here nor there. No, Jesus paid the price. And if we'll just look at him, if we'll just say, if we'll just do, if we'll do these steps, we're going to have what we need. Amen. And so, you know, they looked at that thing and they lived. She goes up and she focused on touching Jesus. She was focusing on it. So she had a plan. I'm going to do this. This is what's going to happen. Yeah. This is how it's going to turn out.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Well, you know, we're just waiting on the Lord. We're not sure. That's not how the word teaches us, church.
No.
It's not. You heard it. Now you can say it and then you can did it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Number three, she received it and she felt in her body that she was healed. Her saying and doing preceded the feeling and the healing. That's good. The feeling and the healing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's a song right there, isn't it? Jesse can sing it next week. That'll be good. The saying and the acting helped her to receive the healing power of God. It helped her. Are you listening to me? It helped her receive. It helped her receive. It helped her go ahead and get there. I'll just say this right here. I think it will help. You know, when we have line up here and we're praying and we're all up here and we're praying for people, you can immediately tell whether someone receives it or not. I mean, some people are just like a brick wall. You lay your hands on them and you're going, they might be in hope, but they're not in faith because nothing's going in. And there's other people, boy, you can sense it. It just whoosh, comes through and rushes through their body. And you can tell that every second you can tell it. Every person you can tell it. Amen. So, but it said that she received and she felt. So her hand of faith reached out and touched Jesus's clothes. She felt the power go out of him to heal her.
Yeah.
We're carrying the Holy Spirit. The power goes out of us into you, or out of you into someone you're praying for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which, by the way, praying for them doesn't mean, oh, Jesus, you know this person's sick. If it be thy will, I just hope and pray that somebody get. No, you rebuke the sickness. You tell it to go. You tell it to go. Jesus didn't go, Now, Father, I'm praying for this person that they get well. No, he told the sickness to go. You want to know why? Because you already are the healed.
That's right.
It's that symptom and that sickness that is trying to attack you.
Yeah.
You already are the rich. You already are the blessed. You already are the favored. You already are the loved.
Yeah.
You're the loved.
Yeah.
It's the devil. It's the enemy trying to steal that place in your life. And if you keep giving him room in your thinking, He'll have a heyday with you. Amen. So she received, she felt, the Johnson translation said that Jesus studied the faces in the crowd so he, to see who made contact with him. So he's looking. He's looking. And he picks her out pretty quick and she's like, yeah. But she's happy. Now understand the reason this fear and trembling thing is going on is because according to Jewish law, it was illegal for her to be out there in public. So I don't know. In my mind, I see all the people, all the press there. I see her crawling through their legs on her, you know, crawling down. She's crawling through. I'm going to get to him. And she's crawling real fast. I just think it was something like that. And then she eases up and gets to him. You know, get in the scene. Think about it. Get in the scene there. And then as soon as she touches him, bam.
Yes.
And it didn't say she was healed. He said, made you whole. Made you whole. That meant you're not going to spend the next 12 years like you just spent the last 12 years. Can I just tell you that you are not going to spend the next 12 years like the last 12 years. Maybe it was good, but it's about to get a whole lot better. Number four, and the last one, she told it. When you testify about what God has done for you, you give glory to God. And you, it puts you in the position for the power of God to continue to work. That's why it's good to go ahead and start saying, yeah, I'm healed. Yeah, when they laid hands on me on Sunday, the healing power of God came into me. Now, if I were to ask my body, maybe it would say I haven't quite received it all, but I am healed. And then sometimes it's immediate. But you know, the enemy will try to push back on you, but you are healed. And you start telling it. And if you are, start telling all the other times. You know, sometimes you just need to have a board meeting with yourself. Because you're thinking, man, what about all this? This is, I mean, we're just not doing very good. There's failure here and failure there. And then you start looking at every department of your life. Well, yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, I made more money last year. Well, so-and-so came into the kingdom. Well, no. Well, I got this revelation. Well, we had this many clients. And you start getting all of a sudden, yeah, and God healed me. God healed me of this. God healed me. And you start looking at that. You didn't do so bad after all.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Maybe sometimes if we thought about that with people, we wouldn't have such a bad attitude with people. Mm. Remember when they helped you get out of trouble. Remember when they helped you with this. Remember when they loved you for that. Remember all that instead of forgetting all of a sudden. Once they do something bad, then, you know, you're out. That needs to leave the Church of the Living God.
Oh, yeah.
We're all human. Someone's going to fail you. Someone's going to ridicule you. Someone's going to reject you. But that's no reason to quit. That's no reason to quit.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We stay out of strife. Praise the Lord. So she told it. So these four steps, church, it radically changed her life. Now she's all new. Now she can go skiing. Now she can go snorkeling and scuba diving and feel okay about it. Now she can keep up with the 35-year-olds. Now, see, you see what I'm saying? Now her whole life's different because she's healed from the top. Now she get to keep her money instead of giving it to the doctors. Which it said it just made her worse. So I'm not going to touch that anymore, but they praise the Lord. But you know, so her whole life has changed because she did those steps. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said anyone can be changed by faith, no matter how he may be fettered. That's old English for how bad you're torn up. God's changing our lives. And you know, I'm not living in my worst days. They've been gone a long time. But I could have some better ones.
Yeah.
I could always have some better ones.
Yeah.
Gratitude.
Yes.
She was testifying. She was saying how good things are. Gratitude helps right there. Yes. Amen. Saying, yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, Pastor, you just don't know what I've been through. Well, if you're sitting here right now, God's done something good for you. Because you made it here, you had a car to come. I doubt that anyone, unless you're fasting, didn't eat tonight. You know, you're all right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
good things come. Yeah, but I'm it's inside. It's inside. Well, today's your day. Because God helps with that. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Don't think you're the only person that doesn't struggle with inward things. We all do. We all do. We struggle with people rejecting us and hating us and spitting on us and all that kind of stuff, just like you do. They're not literally doing that, but you feel like that sometimes. Or like you're alone. Listen, there's a big difference between being alone and being lonely.
Yeah.
And so the devil would like for you to be lonely so you would pick up bad habits and run with bad people.
Yeah.
And that ain't going to work.
God's
got a place. God's got a people. God's got something for you.
Yes.
Well, you know, Pastor, I need to quit because there's things I need to work on with my relationships. Well, that's just like going the opposite way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the opposite way. If you're going to work on relationships, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Stay in church. Work in church. Move in church. Don't quit.
Amen.
Church, the only losers are quitters.
That's right.
It's the only way. Yeah, but no. And listen, I'm preaching to myself.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes I want to say, "Oh, just play a tape. I'm not coming." But I don't.
Thank goodness.
We wanted to go to the rodeo, and who was playing? Who wants to? Okay, so y'all know who Alabama is?
Yeah.
Look, they're all going, yeah. So they're playing on a Wednesday night. Can you believe it? So Jordan says, well, Pastor, we can't go see Alabama because it's a church. I said, oh, yeah, we'll just play a tape. But you know we wouldn't.
Yeah.
God is first. You are first with us.
Always.
You're always first with us. You always are.
Truly.
And so, you know, but sometimes... Just like you feel like, man, I'm just going to stay at home tonight. I'm too mad. I'm too blah. I'm doing too that. But we don't.
Nope.
But we don't. Because this is what, God, I just feel the Holy Spirit so strong.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Yes.
This is what we do. And we do these steps. And we love one another. The next thing that we'll be adding to this, well, I'll just say it in closing here, which I'll repeat this. Can you tell me the steps? Tell them to me. I'll get you to tell me them. Can you? She said. She acted. She received it. And she told it. You get anything you want to from God that way. Anything you want. And if you'll look back at our history, we're sitting in this building from those very words. Am I right, Randy?
Yep.
We're in this building and we're going to our next building the same way. We're going to our next building the same way. And we're going to see triple attendance the same way.
Yeah.
And we're going to see people get healed the same way. And we're starting some new mission work the same way.
Yeah.
Where all these things are happening. It's the very same way. And it's going to be because we did this. We said it. We said it, Jesse. We said it and we did it. Amen? We're doing it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So... those steps, and then I just want to remind you, here in closing on this, that this is what David did with Goliath.
That's right.
Think about it. He said, he ran.
Yeah.
He did these same steps.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He acted. Amen.
Yeah.
And then the prodigal son did too. He went,
mm-hmm.
I could be at a nice place right now. He did the same thing. So when you go back and look at, and think about it, he did that and the father received him and restored him. And then the testimony, his testimony was a party. They threw a party. My son's home. My son's home. I came home and got, and my dad received me. I don't know how you feel, but if my son ever got mad and left me, which he won't. But if he ever did when he came home, I sure wouldn't stand there and say, well, it's about time. I'm glad you repented. I'd just be going, come here. Thank you for loving me again. You know? That's not ever going to happen. Not going to need to do that. But I mean, think about that. Restoration. A lot of people are going to come home to Jesus.
Thank you for
a lot of people are going to come home to the truth.
Yes.
A lot of people, this prophecy about the glory of God falling on universities, you're going to see it with your own eyes. You're going to see it.
Oh.
And I mean, it's going to be, and it'll happen in churches. It'll happen in industry. It's going to happen everywhere.
Amen.
Life is about to be very different. You're like, well, it's about time the government changes. Listen, the government is really the last thing I'm concerned about right now. It's all going to change. Now, I do care. Don't get me wrong. I'm still a patriot. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there's bigger fish to fry, because the bigger fish is going to do everything it needs to do. As Miss Brim said, what we need is an awakening to God. And the Church of the Living God has been waking up. They have been waking up. It is my utmost prayer that the body of Christ quit ragging on each other. It just does not a good thing. Amen. I had one more thing to say. There is a door of faith, an expectation that opens when you realize how much God loves you. This is something we all need to work on. And what he's done for you in redemption. His faith, listen, his faith penetrates your heart, and every trace of doubt melts away when you receive his love. When you receive his love. Church, receive his love. He loves you. He's not mad at you. You are the righteousness of God. He's not, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, join the club. Everybody's done something. You got to get off that. That's sin consciousness. Start saying it. Start saying. She said, have faith in the love of God. So start saying, he loves me.
He loves me.
He loves me. He loves me. I did that early this morning. Jesus loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. I know he loves me. Sometimes when I've been hit with a pain or something and I can't do anything else, I'll lay there and say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I get a Charlie horse or something and I'm walking around limping, trying to get around. I'm going, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Do y'all ever do that? Because he loves me. That's about all I can get out of my mouth, but it's enough.
Yeah.
God loves us.
He does.
It's time not to be, it's a good time to forsake loneliness, because you'll always have him. And I was listening to Kelly this week, and she was just talking about God wants to talk to you. Mm-hmm. He's there. He wants to talk to you. Let him talk to you.
Yes.
Just go somewhere and listen to him. He wants to talk to you.
He does.
I was saying, now Lord, I'm thinking about this and I need your wisdom on it. So I'm going to, no. What do you think? And then I said, and I want to do this. And what do you think? And I want to do this. What do you think? And he said, Rox, I'm not a Ouija board. So let's slow it down a little bit here and we'll actually talk. You know, because the people do that witchcraft thing to try to get guidance. And he was joking with me because he knows I'm not into that. But stop firing off the questions so fast here. Let's slow down and talk about this and not just try to go, okay, that, let's have some room here to, dialogue. Amen. That's right. Have a conversation. Y'all receive this tonight?
Yes.
So Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom of God. His realm, his reign, his rule in Jesus' name. So just, we draw near to the Father by the blood of Jesus. We spend time in his presence until we have that full assurance of faith. Cause you probably, what you're thinking is, well, you know, I believe everything Pastor just said. I know those steps are right, but it's me. I don't think I'm receiving. Keep spending time. Keep spending time. Keep talking. Keep listening. And you will start getting, go for some walks with him. Talk to him. Talk to some other people. Listen to some preaching. And get that thing built up where you just go, you know what? God does love me. You know what? I am the righteousness of God. You know what? I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. See, what the devil wants you to do is to wear that loser magnet.
Yeah.
So you'll just draw losers. And you won't have any success because, or you won't draw anybody because you don't have that frequency. You're like, are you getting new agey? No, I'm getting anointed. Talking about the anointing on your life.
There you go.
You're blocking what needs to come to you. Mm. That's why we cast down imagination. So you won't block things that God's trying to get to you or people that are trying to get to you. Somebody's trying to get to you.
Boom.
Somebody's trying to get to you right now.
Yeah.
You're the answer to someone's problem right now. Well, I don't want to help anybody. Yes, you do want to. It's what you're called to do. I just want everybody to leave me alone. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're like, well, no. You watch. When someone needs help, you'll step right into it.
Yeah.
You may feel like just watching TV. But boy, if somebody calls, you'd be on it.
Yep.
What can we do? We were looking for a plunger. We had texts going yesterday to try to find a plumbing snake. Who has one? I mean, that's what a friendship is all about. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the internet audience. We thank you, Lord. We declare that we all draw near to God. We ask, we receive so that our joy will be full. We pray the anointing of God. We thank you that it removes burdens, destroys yokes, and the people watching are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.